Good morning. It's me. It's your favorite girl, Sharifa Hardy. I am live, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I can't believe I came to work on time. Back when I was an employee, I'd be here somewhere around 8:15. But now it's my show, my day. This is for me. I am here at 8 a.m. sharp, early in the morning, to bring you the Roundtable Talk Show. And before I go ahead and introduce my guest for today, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to be a pest, not just any old pest, but a pest on behalf of Ask Sharifa, and not just me, all of our guests. So I want you to go next door to your neighbor's house. I want you to wake them up out of their sleep and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is on, because you know what? A good friend knows that they don't want to miss this information, and you don't want to miss this show. Something tells me from speaking to the guests backstage, this show is going to be a lot of fun. So go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing, I'm going to go ahead and do my job, I guess, since I'm at work, and introduce my first guest. And my first guest is amazing. You may already recognize her. She is someone who is not only on the rise, but she's taking others with her. As she already told us, she has some tea for us this morning. We're going to talk to tomorrow to Delisha Rodriguez of Hey There Beautiful, who is also a radio personality and an award-winning business coach. Good morning, Dee. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm excited to get started.
What made you decide to come on the Roundtable Talk Show?
Because I can. No, I'm kidding. I
I
mean, listen,
love Diva. Two snaps.
I'm in this cohort yesterday, and we were working on goals. And I said, I know what I want. I know what I can get. I know what I'm worthy of. And so I'm worthy to be here, just like anyone else who wants a platform. And so I'm here to inspire and empower. I'm here to tantalate the masses with this red lipstick and these nails, right? I mean, why not? Like, this is a forum for us to express ourselves, for us to be free, and for us to, like you said, all you need is love. I see that behind you, right? And so we get to do it from a space of love, no judgment, no shade. So yeah, because I get to, because I can, and because people get to experience one another powerfully.
I never asked that question. I'm just telling you, like, I never ask people that question unless they make me like a return guest. And I'll say, you know what made you decide to come back? That kind of thing. But for someone who's never been on the show, to just say, why are you here? And to get that answer, because I can, like, that is amazing. Because especially on yesterday's show, we talked a lot about confidence, and people having confidence. And I believe confidence is one of the most sexiest things there is. It doesn't matter what you look like, how much you weigh, your race, gender. When a person with confidence walks into a room, everyone else notices. So I love your introduction. I'm like, hey there, beautiful.
That's all me. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, confidence, you can't buy it. You can't bottle it, And and when you have an abundance of something, you get to share that with other people. So why not share my abundance of confidence? Make people feel good, make people feel inspired, make them feel empowered to live their best lives, that no matter where they are, they got it, right? I mean, we're in a world right now where we don't know what the climate is, but that doesn't mean that we can't celebrate our happiness and celebrate our joys. And so I'm
Absolutely.
here to spread that, across the world and across this platform, because we get to inspire one another and love on one another. So I'm here for it.
Tell us about your radio show.
So Crown Confidential, it's just two friends shooting the breeze, talking about shenanigans, our storytelling, side. We started off as a live show, and it just didn't work out. Like, it, you know, like most things, when you start them, they don't start the same exact way, right? Like, when we start something, it may look like we see the journey. I'm gonna go this route, but no, I'm gonna go through 57 X's to get to this prince, right? So the way that we see things move, it didn't work out. So now we have a podcast. It's on Anchor, and so my co-host just gave birth to a beautiful baby girl named PJ. And so we
Congratulations.
are, I'm so happy for her. So we're on a little bit of a hiatus. It's just two friends and, joining us on the road of shenanigans during this plus size life that we live. We're really out there and we're radical. And so for us, it's coming on the journey and listen to these stories and what we learned from our stories and our growth, and sharing that in the most, fun, friendly way that we can possible.
You know, I hear, you know, when you say just two friends sharing our shenanigans, and that's interesting because shenanigans is one of my favorite words. People are like, what are you up to? I was like, my shenanigans. I love
Again.
shenanigans. Like, what is life without shenanigans? So it's like, and people tell me all the time, they say, Sharifa, you have such an interesting life. And I tell people, my life is no more interesting than anyone else's. It's just the way I tell it. You know what I mean? It's just the way I present it to the world. So when you say it's just two friends sitting there discussing your shenanigans, it's so much more than that because not everyone and not every friend, two friends can sit together and have stories and interact in a way that other people want to tune into. So I applaud you for just doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's hard. I mean, it's not difficult. It's like you once you set your mind to it, it happens. And so the great part is that we have that give and take. You know, I tell the joke, she laughs. That's how I want it operate in my life. And so, you know, it's a great platform for us to also empower people for their what's next.
So, but you got it down. You tell the jokes, she laughs.
Listen, that's what happens when you're a TEDx talk presenter, right? That too, right? Like when you're up there and you're like on go, you got to fill the time with something. So let me tell a joke. Let me be, you know, and that's who I am. That's my authentic self. I'm a comedian at heart. I love making people smile and laugh. And the show really is from a place of where we were when we didn't know our power. And now that we've accessed it, let me show you how you can access your power too. Let me show you what I'm thinking. Let me, you know, guide you through this journey.
Okay, so many people who are tuning in, they want to stand in their power. I've been told in the past, you know, people differ, you know, because we were talking about tarot cards prior to the show, and I go to different readers, and they always tell me, this is what they tell me. I think I'm having therapy today, just feeling kind of good. But they say, Sharifa, you don't stand in your power. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I'm me, I show up as me. But what I've learned over time, especially in doing this show, there's power in this platform because I allow people to bring in their views and to help other people. But sometimes we don't realize that, you know, we are not standing in our power. And then we don't know how to make that leap and that step to be able to stand in our power. What are the, some of the things that we can do?
I mean, first of all, it's releasing control. For me, I mean, I know that there are other layers in the pan, but it's like releasing control. The more that we think that we're in control, the less we're in control of our life. And so it's just allowing things to happen like naturally, like being in flow. We're worried about money, we're worried about relationships, we're worried about health. Why don't we not worry? Right. And just allow whatever faith, whatever we believe in, because, you know, just because you are religious doesn't mean you go to church, and just because you go to church doesn't mean you're religious. Like, let's, right. So in that regard, it's really just allowing your life to be in flow. I was in corporate America for 12 years thinking that I was in power. I had these cute outfits. Nobody would see me. I'd be behind the back office. I'm the only plus size woman of color back there. And I'm like, this ain't it. This ain't the sauce. Corporate America had my power. And then one day I did it live on Facebook. I sent a note to my boss and I emailed it and I'm like, I'm done. And I've been out of the corporate sector. So it was me really taking my power back and leaning on faith, knowing like when you fall, that there's going to be a net there, right? Like wherever I fall, whatever happens to me, whether it's health, whether it's marriage, whether it's love, wherever I fall, there's going to be a safety net there. And that's really taking back your power. Like, and let me talk about it because I set the tee, right? Let me move. You know, when I move, I have something to say. Like, we get to release relationships that are not serving us. We get to
Amen.
release people that are not serving us. Not everybody's meant to go with you. We always say, oh, well, I feel bad for this. But what do you feel bad for? Guilt, shame, bad is the lowest level of frequency that we can radiate at. So what are you feeling bad for people for? We all imagine a world where everybody took accountability and responsibility for the crap that they did. I'll leave
Preach.
that there, right? And so
Preach.
it's really important that not everybody gets to go on the plane with you. Not everybody gets to be on this boat with you called life. Not everybody wants to see you succeed. Not everybody wants to see you thrive. And as long as you know you thrive, as long as you know you have the power, as long as you know you can take control at any time, you are the author of your life. Every morning we wake up, it's a blank canvas. And so you have the tools and the paintbrush to really author your life. And this is years of coaching, years of personal development, and years of building a tribe around around me and weeding through the good people and the bad and seeing people for who they are and knowing like not everybody gets to be on this show with me. Not everybody wants to come. I'll send the invite. Doesn't mean that you necessarily get to show up. And if you do, great. And if you don't, then that's fine. It's knowing that there are people out there that want to see me thrive, and the people that don't want to see me thrive, letting them go in the most powerful way possible and letting them know like, look, this is what it is. And I think that's a lot of times it's people and circumstances in our mindset that holds us back. Oh, I can't do this, or I'm not able to do this, or I'm not strong enough. What if you had no fear, or if you knew that you couldn't fail, what would you do? Do that. That's power. If you knew that you could not fail at something, or that if you even tried it, you would succeed, what would you do? And thinking about that mindset, right? That's a whole game changer right there. When I was like, wait a second, I can leave corporate and still have health insurance. I can leave corporate and still have bank. I can leave corporate and still look good, like I got paid every Friday. I can leave corporate and still have that sustainability, and I could build my life. That's what I did. I left corporate and built an organization, and now we're national and we're getting paid and things are happening because I said yes. Now the people that see me, they believe me. Now I'm building my tribe. Now I got people around me that are my cheerleaders. And then those people are cheering on those people, and I'm building a new journey for myself. So if you want to do it, if you get anything out of this, if you want to do it now and do it today and step into that power. There's nothing holding you back except your mind.
Woo! I felt that spirit move. I told him earlier I needed a word. That was the word I need to hear. Y'all better share this show. Y'all better share this show. If y'all ain't never shared a show before, y'all better share this show. Oh my God, you are amazing. Amazing. Can I be in your tribe? Like, do I get an invite? Like, absolutely. What do I have to do to be down?
Absolutely.
Like,
go listen to be part of my tribe. I have, you know, I have a lot of different offerings that I have. I do a free motivational Mondays at 3 o'clock live on Facebook, but just go to our website and email me info@heytherebeautiful.org to be part of the tribe. All it takes is an email. I want to be in. What can I do to be part? Because the thing is that I have a, this took years. So let me do it on the other side so I can tell the tea. This took years. This took years of knowing my value. This took me, you know, attempting suicide when I was younger and then dealing with that trauma. This took years of acknowledging that I was assaulted when I was young and I shouldn't have been assaulted and that that's not me. This took years of bullying and fat shaming to recognize that the people that brought me down were down, and that's the only way that they knew how to love. And so accepting that that's what they knew love as, and that that's not what love is to me, was like the biggest tool. And coaching is the biggest piece in any of your client work is acceptance. When you get to a part where you can accept where you are and that you know what's to come, that's the piece right there. So now that I have this source and I feel like this every day, I want to bring that bliss to other people. I love seeing women win. So you can go to the site, www.heytherebeautiful.org, and you can check us out, check me out, and follow me. Follow us everywhere. We are live and direct, you know, because I'm here to see to it that women win. Women know that they are worthy, that they are valuable, and that they are magical, and that they have the power inside of them. Every day between my one-on-one clients and my group coaching, they know. I have one client, I said, what did you get out of last week? She was like, I wrote it down. You said I was magical, and that stood with me. And I said, if every woman knew she was magical, imagine what this world would look like.
Amen. The comments are going off. People said we got a live one today, a live show today.
Yes, yes.
We got someone else said we got someone clear, and they put clear in all caps on who she is and what she was. Amen. I applaud you on Motivational Monday. You're going to see my little hand right there watching, because I'm going to be right there. You're going to get that email that says I want to be in, because I always want to be in with the in crowd, and people always want to sit at the in crowd table that I sit at. So we gonna make this happen, but I usually don't even allow people to go this long. I got four other guests and I have to make sure I have enough time, but when the spirit moves. And I'm also gonna do something a little bit different today than I usually do, because we brought four friends who are amazing friends, and they told me that I could be a part of their friendship, that I could be one of their best friends. But we'll see after this show. But what I'm going to do, since they're all friends and they know all the little tea and all the little details about each other, I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. So Reverend Kelly, please introduce yourself as well as your friends. Tell us about the in crowd.
Ooh, I get to introduce them all? That's me? Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I am Reverend Kelly. And the reason why we know each other is because we work in the cannabis community in Canada together. And also, we all have the same publicist, Tracy Lamore, and that's sort of who we connected with to get us on here today. And these are all sisters in kind, is what I refer to them as, people that are definitely moving and shaking in the cannabis industry in Canada, paving the way, trailblazing women, women that I am, you know that old Wayne's World movie where you say, I'm not worthy. That's how I feel about Mimi, Emery, and Tamara. And I'll let them introduce themselves as well.
Absolutely, Emery.
Oh, well, thank you, Kelly. And you're so right. Like, we have such a beautiful community here in Canada of women and gentlemen and all kinds who have come together. And when I say we're best friends, it's really true. Like, these people are my heart and soul. We go to each other whenever we have difficulties or things to, bounce off each other. And it's very valuable. So my name is Anne-Marie Fisher. I own a company called Cannarite. Kind of to go off of D, I'm a self-made woman as well. I started my company with nothing but passion and interested in cannabis. And I'm also a really big nerd and I like to write. So I started Cannarite 4 years ago, and I've made it a six-figure business in the time I've had it. So it's really great. And it's been able to give me some awesome other platforms, especially in advocacy for Black, Indigenous, and people of color in cannabis. It's given me a great platform to be able to help my my brothers and sisters who need a little bit of elevating of voices these days and some support. So I'm extremely privileged and lucky to be within this community. I work on both sides of the border, so I consider myself a Can-American. It's just such a pleasure to be amongst you all, and I'm so inspired. My heart is about this big right now.
I know, it's just growing. Mimi?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Mimi, and I work in the Canadian cannabis industry along with Tamara, Kelly, and Anne-Marie. I'm though sort of different. I sort of am the person who talks about maybe the more mature cannabis user, the person that's over 50, someone who's just delving into recreational or it needs a prescription or is trying to, find out more about it. I was an educator and a clinic director for a number of years, and basically, I knew there was a gap with people my age, especially with legalization coming. So I just felt that someone needed to fill that gap and be able to make the transition for people my age a little more seamless. And that was basically, and to empower people my age to not be afraid of it. That was basically my whole premise. Because I've used cannabis for 42 years. I'm 57 years old. So I've used cannabis 42 years. So I've always been a quiet supporter. Now I want to shout it from the rooftops because I can.
Amen. Shout it from the rooftops. Go ahead. Now I'm gonna come back.
And that's it.
To you.
And I'm actually this, like, when I hear Dee speaking, very much the same. Like, people looked at me and said, "You're gonna start a business at 50? Like, what are you talking about?" And I'm like, you know what? Why not? So, to hearing Dee speak this morning about, you know, just taking it and doing it and like I said, people still can't believe that I totally changed careers. I was in hotel sales, restaurant management my whole life, hospitality, and I knew I wanted to be a part of legalization in cannabis, like in Canada, and I didn't know if I was going to have enough time. Turns out I did. So, and I'm glad that I did. So here I am.
Got a lot of questions for you. Go ahead. We have Tamara. Tamara's on mute.
Sorry about that. Hi, everyone.
It's okay. Hi.
I'm Tamara, and thank you so much, Sharifa, for having me. And I'm just so thrilled to be here with all my sisters from a different mister. So, sending just so much love to you ladies, and I miss seeing you in the flesh, but I'm glad we have opportunities to collaborate in this manner. So I am actually a cannabis sommelier. And I am also a cannabis educator and curator. So for those of you who remember a job that was advertised last year, we will pay you to smoke and evaluate cannabis. So I am one of the lucky ones. So each month I'm sent cannabis in the mail and I have an opportunity to consume it. And then I complete objective and subjective evaluations that contribute to the overall curation of a company called Allot, A-H-L-O-T. So that's a wonderful opportunity. And it's been thrilling for me. I run my own consulting company called Canna Lily Consulting, and I'm also the CIO and Director of Education at the Cannabis Cooking Company. At the Cannabis Cooking Company, we teach people how to cook with cannabis safely, legally, and responsibly. And at Canna Lily Consulting, I offer everything under the sun, from workshops and education sessions to cannabis curation, sensory experiences, and everything like that. So, you know, it's really an honor, pleasure, and privilege to be in a position to be, you know, kind of elevating the rhetoric around cannabis and changing the game and changing the way we talk about things. And I do just want to revert really quickly back to the notion of stepping into your power. So what I've found is, although there is tremendous value in self-empowerment, I find that my greatest source of power is empowering. So when I empower my colleagues, when I empower my sisters, when I empower those in my cohort, that's how I feel the most validated, and I feel like I'm really making the most contribution. So I work under the motto of the notion of mutual elevation. So my success cannot truly be genuine unless it involves promoting and supporting the success of my colleagues. So unless we can have this mutual shared success and the shared celebration, I don't feel that it's truly genuine.
Exactly.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Reverend Kelly, talk to us about standing or stepping into your power.
Well, it's wonderful to say that, because I was actually called to cannabis spirituality, and that's why I became a minister of cannabis and opened up a cannabis church, because I felt the most powerful when I've been using cannabis and being able to speak to it. I built a community within Kelly's Greenland, which is the name of my company. And it's wonderful to be able to use that and to be able to teach about cannabis and hopefully break the stigma as I'm going along with everybody that's working with it. I love to do sermons about cannabis. I love to speak to people about cannabis spirituality. And I think that's really where my heart is.
That's beautiful, because I've never heard of a cannabis church at all. So explain that to me. Is like every Sunday, or how does this church work? Yeah.
Well, it's all the time. So we don't necessarily sit in a building and pray. Okay. But I do a sermon every Sunday evening. And a lot of it is just to do with the spirituality. I talk about how you can find your inner peace and you can heal yourself with cannabis. And I find that when people start to recognize that, then that's how they start to heal and start to be able to balance themselves and their well-being.
Do you have like a brief sermon? I need
Do
to hear
have a
word.
Brief sermon?
Yes. Not. I don't have like Sunday sermon, but I need like a 2 minute, because I told you I needed a word this morning. Okay. I woke up asking for a word and y'all haven't disappointed. Okay. So I need like a short one. I need the spirit to move.
I pray to Goddess. That's who I pray to. I pray to Goddess, and I pray to the universe, and I ask Goddess and universe to bless us today and bless Sharifa, who's asked for you to speak to her, feel her love. She does this amazing show. She brings people together to empower them, to teach them, to be within their soul. The women that we heard this morning are incredible, and you can see Goddess is working through each and every one of you. You can hear that in your voice. You can hear that in the tone and the clarity of your message. So she is here. She is with us. And I always say, cannabis bless you, because cannabis absolutely does bless you, whether or not you consumed it or not. It does. It's there. It's there for you. And in Goddess name and cannabis name, namaste.
That was so beautiful. I love what I do. I love being here on time every morning at work, just so I can share this time with you, beautiful women. And like Dee said, you are all magical. Mimi, talk to us about standing or stepping into your power.
Well, I think the most exciting thing that I love about it is joining generations through cannabis, meaning like bringing young people together with older people, bridging the generations. And I think that's people my age really, really were dealt a bad stigma. And that's what gives me power, is to make people think that, not to be afraid of it, to try to eliminate the stigma, to try to bring young people like, say, Tamara and myself together and really learn and really talk about it. And just like really, you know, if we can't put the generations together, we're not going to break the stigma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see now there's lots of different people trying to get into cannabis, but the boomers and the seniors need the most help, and we need help from the younger generation, and that's bridging that gap is my power. That's what I love the most about what I'm doing.
I think that's beautiful. Anne-Marie, talk to us.
Stepping into my power. So I come, like Dee and many of the women in this group, I come from corporate Canada. And through those experiences, I learned the power that a female must step into, a woman must step into. And that was through some really tough situations where there was power dynamics. I'm not going to specifically target a demographic, but old white men in suits. there was a lot of trouble that I came across in my former career, gaslighting, bullying, violence, the direct, you know, trying to sabotage women's work. I've seen it all. So when I left corporate Canada, I said no more. So my power is through my words, because I am a writer. I'm not scared to say anything. And, you know, I often say the pen is mightier than the sword. When there's an issue in cannabis in my industry, I like to call it out, and I see that as my duty as a writer, as a journalist, as a voice, as a platform to not only speak my own power and say this is what I'm going through, but this is what my sisters and brothers in the industry are also going through, and these are things that need to stop. And I have no problem calling it out. I have no problem emailing those white men CEOs in suits and saying, hey, what's your rationale? What is your motivation, and why are you acting the way you are? So my power is my words, and asking tough questions through the words and holding people accountable. And then, you know, with he without sin can't cast the first stone. So I'm certainly not perfect. So I, a part of my writing too is sharing where I've slipped up or where I've made mistakes, with the idea that like empowered women fail too. And that when we share our failures, we can empower others and maybe help people skip some mistakes. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would argue that our failures are our greatest successes, because those are where we learn the most.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And you know, and there's, you know, you want to see the good in everyone and everything. And guess what? Not everyone is good, and not everything is good. So, and like you said, Dee, not everyone wants to see you succeed. You have to just shake all that off. You have to. And once you shake all that off, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes. Just to touch on something that Dee said earlier about vibing at frequencies. And this is something that I've realized is a very big component of my power, is making sure that I'm aligning myself with people who are vibing at the same frequency as I am.
Absolutely.
So this is Kelly. This is Mimi. This is Tamara. This is all you wonderful ladies. And you can tell pretty quickly when somebody's not vibing at your same frequency. And it's easy to walk away with that, knowing when you know you want to protect your frequency and vibe at a certain level, it's easy to surround yourself with people in that same power. And through that community, you build power together and say, this is what we stand for and what we won't stand for. So
Oh, and there are, and I mean, there are people who go looking for credibilities to try to make themselves credible. I mean, let's face it, that's just the nature of the beast, you know. If you're credible, somebody wants to latch on to your credibility to make them credible. So you just have to really, 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 I've learned a lot. Yes.
Absolutely, Dean. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go back to what you were saying. These ladies are magical. You see the women that we're surrounded with. What are your thoughts thus far, or any responses to anything anyone had to say?
I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things too that Anne-Marie had mentioned was our mistakes, right? I think that the greatest thing that women can give to women is sharing vulnerably what our mistakes are. Like, we're talking about stepping into power, but we're also like, if you don't share the information, then what good is the lesson? And I think that that's the most valuable thing that we can give to each other, because Mimi had mentioned it, Reverend Kelly mentioned it. Like, we are here together. There's no coincidence. This is mm-hmm. not like, oh my gosh. No, there's a reason why we are all here together having this conversation. And, you know, it requires us to know what we made mistakes. Now we're here. What do we get to share? What do we get to be in contribution with? That's the word. That's really the powerful word. It's like, you know, a lot of, because, you know, also I'm the, you know, Hey There Beautiful is a nonprofit organization, right? And so we empower women and young girls to live their dreams. And when I was looking in the nonprofit world and trying to connect with people, oh, I don't want to give you my curriculum. Oh, I don't want to give you this. Oh, and I'm like, wait a second. We're not, how are we building nonprofits in the US, right? And we're not sharing information. And the reason why a lot of businesses, hold up, let me turn. The reason why your business is not successful, the reason why, you know, you're not successful at what you're doing, or you're hitting a roadblock, or you're not stepping into the power, is because you're not being vulnerable. You're not asking for the support. You're not saying, I need X, Y, and Z. Mimi said it. She said I need help. Mimi just gave you a direct call to action and said, I need some support. And so it's about showing up and making sure that when we show up with the intention to show up and show up powerfully. And that's really the piece, is that we're sharing our stories. We're sharing being vulnerable. Like, listen, you know, this is what happened when I tried to commit suicide. And then this is what I learned. This is what I started when I built the nonprofit. And we didn't make money the first 2 years. And we didn't. I've been in the game for 5 years and we didn't make money the first 2 years. Why? Because I wanted to party and drink. And that's what it was supposed to be. And everything has to be in glass. And it has to look this way. Not being committed to the vision of stepping into my power and transforming lives. So when we start something, stepping into our power is not just, I have the idea, I'm a business owner. It's also knowing that it's going to take all these mistakes and being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. In the United States alone, I think it's 0.001% of women of color are the ones that are getting loans. Why? Because we don't want to request help. I think it's 0.1%. of Black women in the United States are not requesting the support. And it's the same thing in the Hispanic community. We don't want to tell our business out there. We don't want to put don't ask for a loan. Are you out of your mind? And now it's like really changing your mindset that you want to step in your power. You're not going to, it's not doing it alone. Look at Mimi, Tamara, Reverend Kelly, and Emery are a prime example of what flying looks like in V formation together. We can get more accomplished together. Ladies, we can get more accomplished together. If you didn't hear me again, let me get closer. We can get more accomplished together. Find your tribe. You don't have to pay people. Find those people that are going to volunteer, that are going to champion your crazy. That's my message for 2020 with everything happening. Find somebody who's going to champion your crazy, and that will allow you to step into your power, because it allows you to see yourself. Listen, the hardest part in stepping into the power is knowing that you're worthy. The hardest part, other than putting on a bra, ladies, is stepping into your power, right? The hardest part, right? We know it. When it comes off, I'm clocked out. But the hardest part about stepping into our power, right, is knowing we are worthy. You're worthy of that multi-million dollar business. You're worthy of that massage later. You're worthy of that six-figure income. You're worthy to be acknowledged by the white suit. You're worthy to be acknowledged of the loan. You're worthy of what it is that it is to come. And I see so many women lose their power because they don't, I'm not good enough for that man. I'm not sexy enough for that bank account. Once you know you're worthy of it, you got it. Once you know you're worthy, I know I'm worthy of a lot of things to come that have not come to fruition, but I know I'm worthy of it. So when I step onto that yacht for Christmas that I've been manifesting, right? When I am in a tropical island in December, because that's where I want to be. When I move into my home, I already know that that home was made for me, because not only did I manifest it and declared it, I have a tribe of people and I know that I am worthy. That is stepping into your power. Know that you're worthy of it. Know that you're worthy of it.
I think that was beautiful. I made a request on Facebook this morning, said I was expecting a miracle and I'm receiving it now.
This is
the miracle that I was expecting. This is the miracle that I knew was going to show up. I love how my shows go. Now, I just want to ask you this, Dee, because you are preaching today. I don't know if you have a church, but if you don't have one, go talk to Reverend Kelly. She gonna hook a sister up and give you the information and the knowledge to open your church, because you need a church. But in listening to you speak, and you said this twice, so I don't want to gloss over it. You said you attempted suicide. Yes. And it's like, I'm listening to you and I'm like, you know, because we tend to judge COVID-19, global pandemic. We don't understand how many people are suicidal, how many people are depressed, how many extroverts are now forced to be introverts, how many people who are used to talking to so many other people, talking to their families. I'm a hugger. I love to hug, you know.
Oh, me too.
I can't hug people, you know. Yeah. So how can, I mean, to just listen to someone that strong say twice, because I heard it twice. My memory's not, you know, 44 is not what it used to be, but I think you said it twice. So how were you there and how did you get out of that?
It was a long journey. It happened when I was in junior high school. I was being bullied and I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have the bikini body. I didn't have all the things that my friends had. I didn't have clear skin. I didn't have a friend. And my parents, because I was so independent, they just let me do what I want. Like, I did everything. I got my license on my own. I got into school on my own. I was very independent from when I was young. And it happened when I was young. And I remember the first time it was just a bunch of pills. And the second time, the same thing. And the second time when I woke up, I'm like, God wants me here. Somebody wants me here. There's a reason why I'm here. And then, you know, like I said, I've been on one of those journeys. And then my grandmother raised me and she passed away in 2014, which is the reason why I started the organization. And then I went through the most traumatic time, was my father diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And they were like, well, he has 3 weeks. You have to prepare him. And I wasn't talking to him for like 5 years. So now I'm reconciling with a man that's going to transition. And so in learning all of that, I just knew that something or somebody needed me. Something or someone needed me to be bigger, to be better, to step into something. And I knew getting out of this place meant that I can support another girl and she gets to live. There's another young girl. There's another 13-year-old girl that lives inside of me that is somewhere in Chicago, LA, Miami, New Orleans, New York, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and that they feel the way that I feel. They feel dead on the inside. They felt that pain. And I said to myself, now that I saved my own life with these realizations, how can I save the lives of others? Because I know that every night I'm thinking about how I can save her life, how I can make her feel better. How can she journal and wake up in the morning and then reach me? So going through that was just really painful. You know, those teenage years are weird, right? Your body's changing, your height is changing, your feet are changing, your friends, you smell different, you have no idea what's happening. And then in the interim, you know, my parents left me to be independent. So I'm figuring things out on my own because they're working. But then you're taking advice from other 14-year-olds. So how good is that, right? And there wasn't someone like me in the school system. I was just a number. There wasn't someone like me to say, listen, you can live your dreams. You can do what you want. And so I knew that even still, when I have those dark moments, there's someone out there that needs me. There's a calling. There's someone that wants a phone call. There's someone that's listening to this live that I can say you live and you matter and that the things that you want to do are important. And so it's really just knowing that I have a higher calling. I have a higher purpose. And through all these transitions and all these death and all of this, I'm powerful because I lived through that. I walked through the fire already. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I've walked through that fire already 37 times. I did that Tony Robbins walk when you walk out. I have done that already. Okay, so let me show you my mistakes and then let me support you and let you be vulnerable in creating an open space so I can hug you, right? Like Mimi said, I'm a hugger, as you can tell. I'm one of those people that I'm hugging on you and I'm loving on you. And so I know that there's more love that gets to be added to the world, and I am that. And that's what keeps me motivated, because I know that this message, wherever it hits, whoever it hits, it's going to hit them in their soul and it's going to really carry them to the next phase, and it's going to empower empower them. So I got some really great tea and juice, and I have this vibe. Let me let the world know that they are loved and that they matter and that their dreams matter. And so that's what keeps me alive, is that I want the world to live an empowered life where they are living their dreams. That's my vision for the world. And so I know who I get to be. I get to be the person that lives their dreams and also brings that love into others.
Now that was beautiful. You said that there was someone here that you needed you to live. I don't know who else it was, but I needed that word today. I need to feel that today. I need to hear that message today. You matter. You matter. You made a difference here today. You can't even see the comments in the hearts that are going up. There, people are just putting hearts after hearts after hearts because you have spoke directly to so many people. And I know it's not just women, it men as well. You're speaking to people. And I get it because it touched me in my soul. But I tell people all the time, I've been divorced twice. I've been homeless. I've lost everything I owned, but the clothes on my back. I've been laid off 8 times. I've gone through so much, but I understand and I know that I went through all of that for someone else. Yes. And to be able to say, when someone comes to me and they say, Sharifa, I can't do it because, no. Let me introduce you to D. Rodriguez. Let me introduce you to Reverend Kelly. Let me introduce you to Mimi. Let me introduce you to Anne-Marie. Let me introduce you to Tamara. If they can do it, there's no reason in the world that you can do it. You can't do it. And I always tell people, there's no excuse you can give me. Absolutely none. I don't care if you came to me and say, well, I really want to live this dream, but I can't because I have cancer. Okay, well, we're going to work on this dream for however long we have it, because there's no reason, no excuse that you can give me for why you can't do anything. For whatever you want to do, there's someone who has done it and there's someone who is doing it. Ain't that right, Mimi?
It is. It's true. And I mean, And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, like, there's no limitation. I mean, you have to just have the confidence. I mean, and you have to really have a vision and really be prepared to have your point of view and to really, really stick with that point of view. Like someone said to me the other day, you know, you've never wavered. I said, my point of view has always been the same. Cannabis for older people, mature, you can't, you have to have your vision, your business plan, you have to have that right down pat. And I mean, I'm so glad that I did it the way that I wanted to do it, instead of half-assed, I guess is the word. And I wanted it to be a certain vision, and it's now coming to life, but it's taken a long time. Mm, but you can't give up. You can't give up on that vision.
I'd love to jump in here. I'd love to jump in a bit with something Dee said. When you become empowered and stop being a victim, that's when you start being able to help other people. And if you ask, why is this happening to me? What is my lesson? What am I to take from this, instead of, it's happening again. It's another hurdle. It's another mountain that I'm climbing. Those are there for a reason, so we can build ourselves, so we can grow, so we can become the people that we are. I'm a trauma survivor. I lived for a long time living in that trauma and not being able to get past it. When I stopped being a victim and when I stopped being poor me, that's when I became Reverend Kelly. That's when I was able to be the person that I'm meant to be today. And instead of, why did this happen? How could this happen to me? How could that person do that to me? It became, okay, this happened, so I can share my experience with someone else so that maybe it doesn't happen to them.
Exactly.
Maybe I had to live through this, and maybe I had to endure this pain so that I can teach other people
Absolutely.
How to avoid that kind of thing. And it doesn't mean I'm a martyr, and it doesn't mean that I'm somebody that, oh, you know, but what I mean by that is that, okay, I'll take it. That's my lesson. Now let me share it with you. Let's
work together. And like you said, help other people to maybe not make the same, you know, if we can empower other people to not make the same mistakes, maybe. I had a meeting the other day with a couple of women, and I just said, I made a lot of mistakes. I don't want you to make the mistakes that I made. So I'm going to tell you about my mistakes, you know, and they were so appreciative, you know, but you have to own them.
Yes, absolutely. Anne-Marie, Tamara, what's your feeling back there, ladies?
So I think that what we're all talking about is a really important notion, which is we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. So we don't just talk about it because it's fun or it sounds nice. We talk about it because we live it. And when we live it, we demonstrate it. And we want to bring others into the fold. And we want to, you know, so like I say, stepping into your power is empowering. So when you step into your power, it gives you, it enables you to empower. So if we can use our own power to elevate those around us, both in our words and in our actions, then I feel like we're really kind of all driving in the same direction towards kind of personal actualization and being able to embrace and love our vulnerabilities and use them as our power. Like when we acknowledge our weaknesses, when we acknowledge our challenges, when we speak about our vulnerabilities, when we share our traumas and that we have attempted suicide and that we've had to get through trauma, that gives us power. That feeds our power. And it also creates this shared sense of ownership. We own what happened to us. We have processed it and we are choosing to not have it be a barrier for us. We're choosing to have it be an enabler.
Yes. I have goosebumps. I have goosebumps like literally a foot high off my arms right now.
I know. Just to add to what these wonderful women are saying, when I'm working with people, I like to talk about the concept of a locus of control and recognizing that you can either have an internal or an external locus of control. And those people that have an external locus of control are the victims, the, oh, woe is me. Oh, the I didn't succeed because so-and-so screwed me over, or it's that person's fault because I didn't succeed. But when you have that internal locus of control, you 100% take ownership and mastery of your own ship. And you, through that internal locus of control, you can take ownership for your mistakes. You can take ownership for your vulnerabilities. You can also take ownership for your successes and your triumphs and all those things that you have done, because you have done it. Nobody else. You have done it all yourself. And that's, I think it's a lot of people live in the external locus of control space. And I try to influence people to go back into the internal and recognize you are really the master of your own ship. I have tattoos of women doing amazing things, a woman on a ship, a woman in a spaceship. So women can do amazing things if they own their own power.
So the question really remains, does life happen to you or do you happen to life?
Whoa.
I think that's the Tamara's deep. She's been coming out with these little deep little things. I'm like, she is so deep. I love that. And it's so crazy because I have this shirt that says empowered women, empower women. And see, if my psychic telekinesis would have kicked in, I would have wore that shirt today because it would have just been so funny. But the message is still the same. I think Dee talks about control and Anne-Marie just talked about control. And one of the things that I try to remember is that control is an illusion, right? It's like the joke, how do you make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Right, because he's that's what you're going to do. So just let go of the illusion of control and of perfectionism and just show up as you, who you are, and just be the best you that you can be. You ladies are amazing. I've had a really good time today.
Me too.
How y'all feeling?
That was fun.
Like Mimi said, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just feeling very, very inspired by everybody. High.
And I haven't even
Tamara, did you say you feel high?
I feel high and I haven't even ingested any cannabis yet. It's incredible.
That's fine. I'm sending you the voodoo. We're sending it through the airwaves.
I think that's what happened.
And empowering women, absolutely.
Absolutely. And empowerment is that's exactly what my company's all about, is empowerment. It's just empowering people older, mature, to do it.
Mm-hmm. Do it. So I want to go back to something Tamara said, though, seriously, for a moment. You said that you won the job. You was one of the lucky people. What was one of the criteria, you know, because I you said if I saw the ad, and I do remember seeing that ad, and I was like, okay, what's the criteria? Do you have to, you know, what's the criteria?
So the application process was pretty rigorous, and actually 25,000 people applied for the job, and 8 of us got the job. So I'm so sorry. I lost my train of thought. You're going to have to ask me the question again. I'm so sorry.
Okay. So
what's the qualifications required? So yes. Each person has a diverse skill set and background. And what they tried to do is bring together a group of people. So we have one person who's a horticultural therapist, for example. So she works with people in nature and does therapy for them. We have one person who's a grower. I'm a cannabis sommelier. So they were really looking for people with very, very diverse backgrounds and skill sets who could, hopefully kind of represent Canada and the diverse makeup of Canada. I will note, however, that there was no information in the application process about your age or your ethnic background, because that's illegal. So unfortunately, I would say that the current makeup of the committee is not as diverse as I would hope or I would want. However, there is currently, for a number of reasons, 2 slots are currently free. So each month, this company, Alot, is actually hiring on 2 guest bud tenders to fill the slot. So that's been really nice, because we have seen people from the LGBTQ community. We've seen people from the BIPOC community.
I'd like to do it.
There you go. So, you know, yeah. People who are from different age cohorts. Mm-hmm. So the idea is really, we want to have a really representative sample. But ultimately, when push came to shove to get the job, you just had to stand out. You know, in all of the ways that we've gotten to where we are today, it's been self-advocacy, shameless self-promotion, you know, exploiting our skill set. Essentially, we do whatever we have to do to get where we want to go.
Mm. So for people like Mimi, who's interested in those slots, where would they go?
So what you're going to do is you're going to go to www.ahlotalot.com, and you can click. So I will mention, this is unfortunately only for our residents of Canada. Mm-hmm. And you can click. There is essentially just a hyperlink to apply for the position. They ask you a bunch of questions and you're good to go. So we have positions available now from August until March. 2 spots. So there are a number of positions to be filled. And I think it presents a really kind of cool and unique opportunity to be a guest curator on the committee. So you get to see what we're doing on a monthly basis without, all of the kind of responsibilities that come with the position.
I think that's wonderful. People in Canada are going
to
have a lot.
I would just like to add a little age to it. You know, apparently I'm the number one demographic walking into the stores these days. So the 57-year-old woman. So that would be really interesting for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, what we found is when we have our monthly calls, the guest bud tenders are usually, or cannabis navigators, as I prefer to call them, are usually the ones that speak the most on the call, because, you know, they have had the least opportunity to be heard. And it's such an empowering position to be in, to actually be able to articulate your perspectives about cannabis. So, you know, we really try to encourage and support and empower the guest committee members to have their voices heard, because, you know, it really is a unique and quite a special opportunity.
Yeah. It sounds like it. I have had so much fun on this show. I have enjoyed it. We've laughed. I was almost in tears a couple of times. It's so beautiful. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests an opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your interview. And we're going to start with you, Anne-Marie.
Okay. So I'm going to say a little thing for the cannabis industry. I want people who are interested in cannabis and who might be consumers who are watching to recognize that the cannabis industry has less than 5% ownership of Black businesses. And that kind of, that's kind of across the board for Indigenous and people of color as well. I want everybody who consumes cannabis to think about that when they purchase cannabis and make a really smart decision about recognizing that these people have a very big part in our cannabis industry. And as consumers, as fellow advocates, we have a duty to ensure that our industry is actually representative. So I would like to just leave on a note to check out giveusourharvest.com. That is a nonprofit organization located in Denver that is seeking reparations for Black people and Indigenous people of color in the cannabis industry to make the industry more inclusive. So I just want to put that, just remember when you're smoking your cannabis, there's still some people in jail for cannabis. So it's not a free plant, but it's not totally free until we're all free. So,
amen. Preach. I'm gonna go check out that website. Maybe we can get them on the show to discuss what they're doing. I have an article in the July, August issue of Radiance Magazine where I talked about reparations, not just for cannabis, but for Black people in general. So, again, I'm going to definitely check that out. Mimi, what do you have for us?
Well, I just like to say anybody who's over the age of 50 and who's delving into using cannabis or wants to learn more, my website, www.mimicannabis, is a safe place to land. You can ask me questions about recreational, prescription cannabis, whatever you might want to know about it. But I think the best part is if you are that age, don't be afraid. Just drop by my website and ask the questions you want to ask. If you knew some of the questions I get on a daily basis, from what the inside of a legal store looks like to, you know what, people just want help. They just want to know what it's about. So please, it's a safe place. And I encourage boomers, seniors to learn more and drop on by.
Yes, yes. Reverend Kelly.
Oh, well, yes. My message is always one of cannabis, and I find myself to be a cannabis spokesperson in the sense that I find that cannabis sometimes draws lines, or people want to draw lines in cannabis. It doesn't matter if it's legal or if it's legacy or if it's medical. It's just important that you find your way to cannabis, because I believe that it will heal you inside and out, and you'll find your homeostasis when you have cannabis. And I guess my message would be to find it if you can. And if you have any questions or anything that you'd like to know about cannabis, all of the women that are my sisters in kind that joined us here today have all kinds of wonderful messages, and you should definitely find them. And if you want to find me, you can find me and we can talk too, because I love everyone. Please always remember to be kind to each other.
Oh, you're just so adorable. I'm going to have to find you on Sundays and just listen to your spirit, the spirit of cannabis, Tamara.
So I am going to start with a little shameless promotion, self-promotion. So if you have any questions about cannabis plant science or safety, growth patterns, if you are interested in hiring a cannabis sommelier to do a wide variety of services, I do encourage you to reach out. You can reach me at CannaLily, CannaLily.ca, or on Instagram or Facebook at CannaLily.consulting. So that's my little shameless promotion. And to end it, I will just say, you know, cannabis is a plant. And I truly believe that it has the capacity to change the world and improve the quality of anyone's life who seeks it out, irrespective of whether you're using it for medical or recreational purposes, whether you're looking for an intoxication experience or more of a therapeutic experience. This plant is a game changer. The more we learn, the more we see that it was used in the most ancient of times for all kinds of purposes. It can be used both in an industrial setting, a medical setting, a therapeutic setting, and a recreational setting. It truly is one of the most powerful and plants with untapped potential that we even now haven't begun to truly understand and appreciate. Stop talking about marijuana. Marijuana is a racist term that was adopted by Harry Anslinger to criminalize cannabis and associate it with foreigners or immigrants who were construed as lesser than at that particular time in society. Just stop using the word. Say pot, say weed, I don't care. But if you want to elevate the game and really change the way we're talking about cannabis, ditch the stereotypes, stop thinking about the lazy stoner who's unmotivated and not driven, and use the correct botanical term, cannabis.
And I want to add something, because this is something Anne-Marie said to me a long time ago. The plant itself doesn't know if it's legal or not.
That is so deep, so deep.
And you know what, Anne-Marie, ever since you've always said that to me, it always sits right here.
That is so beautiful. Dee, what do you have for us?
So if you're looking for empowerment, you're looking for your what's next, I am an organizational development coach. I am here to support you. Definitely connect with us, www.heytherebeautiful.org. We are a nonprofit organization. And so we have a free tech programming for kids. So we're looking to fill those 12 slots. So go on our site. Those of you that are watching me now, I do offer for a limited time free consultations. You want to take your business to the next level. During COVID, my client was able to buy 300 acres of property in cash. Right. So I've had some significant results. I've had results where my people are moving. I had someone go from zero to $2,000 in less than 3 weeks. Right. So I'm here to support you in your what's next. I'm here to build. Add me on Facebook, Dailisha E. Rodriguez. Add me on IG, Dailisha, D-A-I-L-I-S-H-A. Check me out, Motivational Mondays. It's free. You can go on our website and check out all of our programmings. We have a lot of free offerings as a nonprofit. And then if you want to work one-on-one with me, contact me, info@heytherebeautiful.org. I want to see you through it. And the last message that I want to leave you with, anyone listening, male, female, if you're a child, whoever you are right now, if you're listening, you are worthy of what you want. You matter. Your dreams matter. You're important. The things that you say are important. Your feelings are important. Your emotions are important. Everything that you want to do in this world is important. And if no one told you, there's somebody that loves you. There's somebody that's out there for you that wants to see you grow, that wants to see you thrive. And that person's me. I'm committed to a win-win world. And so get in our tribe. My call to action is get in our tribe and start to connect and commit to yourself. Commit to yourself, commit to that empowerment, commit to that love, because there are people that love you, that want to see you win. And you may not see it now. Some of us are maybe in a dark place. You may not see it now. COVID's happening. Unemployment's happening. I'm telling you that above all of this, we are resilient. We are leaders. We are human. And so whatever it is that you see on the other side, there is a really, really big rainbow on the other side. We may not see it yet, right? After a storm, after a hurricane, there are rainbows all in the sky. And those rainbows are a representation of your hard work, your perseverance. And it starts with really believing yourself and believing in your vision. And so as a coach, that's where I take you. And that's where I support you. And so definitely connect with me. My page is public and open so that people can see the lives and see the work that we're doing. Don't be afraid to request support, because if I'm not able to do it, I'm going to put you in the right hands of somebody who can. I can be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest advocate. Let me in, let love in, and lead and do all things from a place of love.
Yes.
You lived for a reason. You chose to live for a reason. You are a gift. You are a blessing. And if you have not been a gift or a blessing to anyone else in the world today, you have blessed me here today. I need to hear that. I need to hear everything you have to say. I know the people watching live, I'm going to be the first one. As soon as we end this show, I'm going to follow you on everything. Send friend requests, send emails. I'm in, whatever you see. You're going to be my new mentor. Like, all I'm going to say, you're going to say, do this. And I'm going to be like, okay, I'm not even going to drive. I'm going to sit in the passenger side and give you the wheel, because you're about to take Ash Sharifa to the next level. Mark my words, this has been an amazing show. And if you have not shared this show yet, I don't know why. I told you in the beginning, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you. I told you, go wake your neighbor up. I said it. You didn't hear me because I already know the magic that was going to happen today. Why? Because I asked for it. I asked for a miracle and my miracle came through, as all of you. And I also just want to thank you for being a guest here today. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show in the archives. And it doesn't matter if you're watching in the archives 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years from now, go ahead and share this show, because someone right here needed to hear this today. Now, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Go visit our guests. Go follow them. Go connect. Go be a part of what they're doing. Send them a message. And when you contact them, let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until Friday, TGIF, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.